Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I'm happy to report that we had a major, major breakthrough. This group called Cornerstone Alliance, which is part of Whirlpool, a letter was sent to HUD in reference to Cornerstone Alliance that I have sent. It reads, I am writing because I am very, very concerned about the funding for the NSP2 program, $14 million, which is designated for the city of Benton Harbor. Cornerstone Alliance is devouring a large portion of the NSP2 funding, the $14 million. The Harbortown project is a desolated land that has been vacant for years. Is it ethical for Cornerstone to own the land and also be the developer for the land? The developer will receive 15% of $1 million. Plus, they own the fire station. And they're going to receive another million for that. My question to you, is it ethical for someone to receive this money that's really not a part of Benton Harbor? I'm here to tell you there's fraud here, and we plan to be right on top of it. But before we do anything else, let's go to a little Martin Luther King.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners, will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood? I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My Country Tears of Thee." Sweet land of liberty of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring. And when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am happy, happy to report that Mr. Now listen to this. This is really, really important. We are trying to save Mr. Troy Davis. We have over 600,000 signatures. We are trying to secure 1 million signatures by September the 19th, which is tomorrow. We are trying to secure over 1 million signatures by September the 19th. He's going to have a parole board hearing on tomorrow. And the NAACP have stepped to the plate and decided to lead this charge. But I'm telling you, I'm happy today. I'm very happy today. But I'm going to bring on my co-host, Ralph. Ralph, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend, and I'm listening. I'm hopeful and doubtful and all of these things put together that comes from working on an issue on the behalf of people who have remained powerless. We, and I'm at 123rd Street off of Broadway in New York City. I've just attended the African American Day Parade with my political prisoner shirt on, hoping to make people aware, and sitting in the playground. This was the borderline. We had people who understood the struggle for education, and we were fighting for community control. But this was the lower edge of Harlem, and they had opted for something different. They had opted for a hope on integration, and I won't get into the whole issue of integration, but what had happened, you know what had has happened to our schools. Our children are still in the pipeline to the prisons from our schools. Miseducation is rampant. We lost that struggle. And now we find ourselves in a continuing destruction of the public schools of privatization. And again, we are powerless. And it seems that we're getting, it's getting worse because we opted to disobey Mr. Keating and judge a man by the color of his skin, or misjudge a man by the color of his skin, and we ended up with Obama. And this morning on my email, I got a message saying, why can't we all work together? And my answer was, well, we come from different political perspectives. But if you say we should work together, let's get together with Condoleezza Rice, with Mr. Obama, with Eric Holder, with the black district attorney in Philadelphia who wants to execute Mumia Abu-Jamal, and don't forget Condoleezza, and don't forget Clarence Thomas. You see, I guess you get my point. You know,
oh, absolutely.
a clear picture of where we're going and how we're going to get there. And I can look at the positive. You're providing that service of where we have to go and how we're going to get there. So that's a positive for today. So
amen. And Ralph, let me see if Cynthia is on the line. Cynthia McKinney, are you there? Cynthia, are you there?
Cynthia.
Hello? Cynthia McKinney, are you there? Okay, let's go. Ralph?
Yes, I'm listening.
Yes, Cynthia has not came on as of yet. I was hoping that she would be on the line at this time. Unfortunately, she's not there. But as you were saying, we're in a real dogfight. And the thing is, why can't we work together? Why can't we work together, Ralph? Can you elaborate on that just a little bit more
yes.
so people can understand exactly where we're going?
Yes, see, that's a terrible issue when you say, why can't we work together? No people on the planet have worked together on freedom. And why do we put that onus on black people? Why must we be different? In this very country we sit, white people, Tories, the white people of North America fought the white people of England. They fought the white people of Spain. They fought the white people of Portugal to be free of other white people. And we see most recently in China, Mao Zedong fought the Kuomintang by Chiang Kai-shek, who was aligned with European powers. Ho Chi Minh fought Chu and Ki, who were aligned with foreign powers. And Fidel Castro fought those who were aligned with foreign powers. And so suddenly when it comes to black people and they say, hey, we must fight together, and I'm saying, don't be silly. You know nothing of political struggle because you ally yourselves with people of like minds who want to be free. And this is why I was hoping that we would have Cynthia McKinney here, because she doesn't claim to work with Obama. Although she's in the Democratic Party and Obama's in the Democratic Party, because of her policies, the Democratic Party and she fought and split. And she split with Obama. And she wrote a wonderful letter to Mr. Obama when he became president, you know, challenging him to step up to the things that he had promised. And we see that people of different persuasions, people who are going to work on different issues, cannot work together. We see that we have all of these people looking to destroy Troy Davis. We have black people there who are on the side of the DA. Shall we work together to do what? And this is why I'm so happy to be able to tune in to Reverend Pinckney, because issues are going to be discussed. We'll see who should work together. You opened up the program with asking the question, who should have these funds? Mm. Is it fair that people have nothing to do? These are the things we have to discuss. Then we'll see who is on whose side according to issue, not the color of their skin, but the content of their character. So thanks again for being there and going into these issues, because there are many issues that we have to discuss. One
Absolutely.
Today, the African American Day Parade, is a question of political prisoners. Where are we in terms of defending the people who stood up and gave their all for us? All but
You're
forgotten.
Absolutely correct. Hey, Ralph,
so
let me bring on Mary.
Go.
Mary, are you there?
I'm here, Ralph. How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
You hear me?
I can hear you quite well. Go right ahead.
I just want to say, Reverend, that yesterday I was at the Atlanta, Georgia Solidarity with Troy Davis March rally and press service. It was a beautiful occasion. Thousands and thousands of people came out. There were police directing traffic. They didn't say a word to me about my sign. My sign says Wrongful Death of Larry Neal. A lady told me she wants to do a documentary to compare how they hide the police murder of Larry Neal as opposed to how they want to kill Troy Davis on the unsupported idea that he killed a police officer. Isn't that a big difference, Reverend?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know where you're going with this, and I know we've been having rallies all across the country in reference to Troy Davis, and we've been doing some amazing work ourselves. What we're trying to do now, you know they got a parole hearing tomorrow, September the 19th. And I'm hoping that the people show up and show out why they're there, because it's crucial that people come to that hearing and be at that hearing to let the people know that we're serious about what we're doing.
We are serious, sir, and it's not just Troy Davis. It's Benton Harbor, Michigan.
Yes.
It's all over the country. We have Hank Skinner down in Texas who denied a DNA test. They intend to execute him. We know that we have brothers and sisters in trouble all over this country, and I mean white people, black people, Native Americans, Latinos. We are for power to the people, everyone, regardless of race, creed, and color. Isn't that right, Reverend?
That's it. You are 100% correct, and that's really what it's all about. This is not just a black thing. We want people to understand that we're serious about what we're doing, and we want to pull people in. See, what we want to do, we want to start dealing with this issue on a class situation, so that way we can bring more people into this to this issue, and so people can stand up and start fighting on a different level. But I tell you, why don't you give us a little bit more on Troy Davis? Then I'm going to bring Raph on, and I'm going to go to 646 and hear from him or her.
All right, sir. As you know, the main thing that I am pushing is for a boycott for justice. And if you look online now, you'll see boycott for justice for Troy Davis. And I went to the crowd yesterday, and I talked loud, sir, and I told them that the justice system is not caring about petitions, rallies, and marches as much as they will care once we add a financial incentive to justice. Back in the 60s, you will recall that we boycotted the Montgomery bus boycott. Do you remember that?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
And yes, and you're asking people to stop buying from Whirlpool, and you wrote me that their stock is falling because Whirlpool is more or less taking over Benton Harbor, Michigan. Is that right?
That is correct. And
so
here's the big thing, though, Mary. Mary, we got them on a negative credit rating right now. That Standard & Poor's, the one who put the United States on that minus negative road, now have put Whirlpool on a negative, and right now they can't get a loan. If they do, they have to pay high interest.
Great. The thing is, sir, that the people, these corporations, they do not care about justice unless it affects the bottom line. That is sad, and, you know, the thing is that not all companies are like that, and we know that, but it seems that the majority of the major corporations do not care about being just to the working class. They do not care about being just to the indigent people. They do not care about our elders and our handicapped people. We have 1.25 million mentally ill people in prison, our prison profits. And we are tired of it. We are standing up, and we're going to begin right here, right now, by boycotting for Troy Davis if they kill him. We are going to boycott the state of Georgia for a period of 3 years. And we're asking everyone, if family reunions plan, if you got concerts, if you got whatever you have planned, that you were going to bring it to Georgia, take it elsewhere if they kill Troy Davis. If that Pardon and Parole Board does not come back and say that we are going to this execution, then right away get on the phone, call and cancel your orders. If you order things from Georgia corporations, we're asking that we make an example. There comes a point when we must put our feet down. We have big feet. We don't have little feet. We are the consumers. We are the and together, black people, white people, Native Americans, together, Latinos, together, students, elders, we have giant feet. Let's put them down right now. Let's start right here, right now, and say, do not use drug attached money to execute an innocent man. Do not carry out the civil war into the 21st century. We will not have it.
Hey, I agree with you 100%. Listen, let's bring on this our guest, 646-755-8445. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Reverend.
Good afternoon to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having such a wonderful show and having this outlet that we can't get in the regular media because of the political partisanship that goes on out there. But if I just may throw something, and I'm hoping I'm not going terribly off topic, but when you talk about empowering people and about getting along, the two major groups that right now show us that they can't get along are our two major political parties, Democrats and Republicans. I will not point to any one person because I think both institutions are very responsible for everything that's going on wrong in this country. At the same time, when it comes to elections, we show up and keep voting for them. Whether we vote one way or vote the other, our results always end up the same.
I agree with that 100%. You are absolutely correct. And,
so
you know, what I always say, remember this. This is what I say. It's not whether you're a Republican or Democrat. It's the system itself that has to be changed. Until
correct.
We change the system, we're going to continue being mistreated just like we are now. You know, in the state of Michigan, on October the 1st,
yes.
12,600 people will be taken for from the welfare roll. And here's what they're trying to do now. They're taking people off of this disability now. Their goal is to eliminate as many, and that's federal. We're talking about federally. They're getting ready to take them off. And the welfare itself is state. But my point is this. We keep doing the same thing over and over again, keep electing these same people, keep putting ourselves in the same predicament, and we end up crying about it.
I don't know what your opinion is, Reverend, because I'm 45 years old. I was a long-time Democrat for many, many years. And I saw this. I mean, I just kept seeing this over and over again. I decided to take a turn, become independent, and try to do things in a different way, which is not conventional to the way we do things. You know, I understand all about protests. And I understand all about boycotting. And I think those are great, great measures, and they work a lot of times. Sometimes they don't work. But I think as long as we continue doing what we're doing, which is continue to vote them in and then complain about it, it's just going to happen over and over again. So my suggestion, and it's a very humble one because I'm just a citizen of the United States, is to educate people to become more independent from the political party, to try to organize independently, because you honestly, what politicians worry about are election results, are about winning every 4 years. All you have to do is turn on the television, that's the conversation that they're having right now. So they have forgotten about us, but when it comes to elections, they're there. And then the next day, they look at numbers. All I'm saying humbly is for people to look at other options, try to find other ways of organizing. I think becoming more independent from the political parties is a big solution. And by attacking the structure of the political process, it's very hurtful for them. And I'm talking about the major party. I'm not pointing to one party or the other. Like I said, I think they're both as responsible. But we've permitted this to continue. And I think to empower people, we have to become independent. And that's my point.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Reverend.
Hey, I agree with you 100%. And just like I said before, if it's not whether they're Republican or Democrat, it's the system itself that has to be changed. And the only way it's going to be changed is that we, the people, change it. Always remember this, is more of us than them. As I counted
Amen.
Before, it's only 545 of them. And that includes 100 senators, 435 congressmen, one president, 9 Supreme Court justices, which equates to 545 human beings. So we, the people, is over 300 million of us. Whether they like it or not, we have to take charge. On that note, let me bring in Ralph. Ralph, could you comment
yes,
on that right fast?
I'm listening. I like what the gentleman said. We have to be independent of political parties. And I was just so much hoping that Cynthia McKinney would be on, because one of the things that attracted me to her and her positions was when she referred in detail to the fact that our government has been hijacked. Now, we all know what hijacked means. It has been hijacked from the people by special interest, and the interests are foreign policy, 1,000% support of Israel, and corporations, 1,000% support of corporations. Well, where does it leave us? 75% of American people wanted health care, single-payer health care. There was no representation for that. And I always go back to health care because that must make it clear to everyone. The political parties both represent the power of the corporations, and it has nothing to do with you or I, only in terms of putting a person in office to do what the corporations want them to do. America is number 32 in terms of health around the world, the richest nation in the world, number 32. What does that tell you? We do not have representation. And it bothers me when people say, either political party, it's the government. But yet we're going to have an election coming up, and Obama is running around, and he's going to get 60-70% of the black vote, simply because he's going to tell the same lies over and over again. And people, it seems to me, are slow in learning. But I know the college students are not going to vote for him. I know that there are many political people who thought he was going to do something the first time and not going to vote for him. So, and that's why I'm so glad that Reverend Pinckney has taken on the banner of the Green Party. This is something different, and it's what we can make it be. It is a small, weak political party that has said the proper things. Corporations will not be funding or leading us around. And I'm counting on Mr. Pinckney, Reverend Pinckney, out in Benton Harbor, to lead the parade there, lead the charge, and say, no, I know what I've been telling you about, and this is what we're going to do. I have faith that you who have been working on these issues over the years will continue to work on these issues, not like Mr. Obama, who claimed to be working for the people, but he was on the government payroll. And all of these people on government payroll said, I'm working for the people, are liars. They're not working for the people.
And Ralph, you have just said a mouthful. Let me bring on Mary. Mary, can you elaborate on that?
Well, yes, sir. You know that I am going to reach the day they appoint us for the MLK Memorial. They're on the mall. Martin Luther King Jr. is going to be the first non-president ever to have a memorial there on the mall in Washington, and I plan to be there. I want to look in the faces of these black people, as far as these people all getting together, all black people getting together. I'm addressing that. And I'm saying that we are not all together. We're not all on the same page. Some of us, a great deal of leaders, have sold out. They are working for the establishment. They have knives in our backs, and we cannot trust them, and we need to stop being so race conscious as a race ourselves. We need to stop looking at the color of people's skin and trying to detect their character that way. We need to know that sometimes NASA has always used other black people to whip us because they were too beautiful to get sweaty and dirty doing the whippings on the necks of slaves, and they had whipping boys. So we have to in the 21st century. We have to be aware of that and not listen to what people say.
Well,
voting records We need to look at their records. We need to pray about it, and we need to confer with each other, and you can trust mainstream for your what people are like.
And you know one thing, Mary, you are absolutely correct, and let me say this. It's time that we start doing our homework. The sooner we start doing our homework, the sooner we'll start coming up with the correct answers. Too many times we listen to other people talk instead of going out, doing the things we need to do to find out who we should be voting for. But it's time that this country came together against government that's not for the people. See, remember this, government is for the people and it's supposed to be by the people. You see, anything that goes on in this country should be done for us. But instead of things being done for us, these 500, now you got to listen to this, it's 535 of them. That's right. That's 545. You have 100 senators, 435 congressmen, one president, one Supreme Court justice, as 545 human beings out of the 3 million who are directly, legally, morally, and individually responsible for the domestic problems that plague this country. And we need to start making them put up or shut up. And I think that's the idea. Let me go, Ralph, before I bring you on. Let's go to our guest, 646. Can you elaborate on that?
Elaborate on what you were saying?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. We have to... We have to do that. But you as a, I just realized that you're a Green Party member. You as a Green Party member see the blocks and all the tricks that our major parties do for you to run. Have you noticed what you have to go through?
Oh, absolutely.
To run.
Because I ran for U.S. representative for the 6th District here in the city of, here in the state of Michigan.
That this is where, see, this is the crux of the problem. The political parties are in charge, and they want to keep that power. Anytime somebody from the outside, like you, like any other person from any other party, try to come into the process, they have all these tricks and mazes, ballot access, have you out of the debates. They don't include people from the debates from outside the party. There's so many political corruption when you want to try to do something different that it's almost impossible. So
No. I hate to hear anyone say that.
They want to make it almost impossible. But
yes.
We make it possible. People can make this possible. It all is one thing, Reverend, organization and talking to each other. Because the media is not on our side.
That's true.
So if we as a people don't do this with each other, it's not going to happen. So
and how we do that is identifying ourselves.
So
how do
like
we identify ourselves?
You've got
by
a great
giving
show.
Exactly.
Ralph, hold on. Let him finish, Ralph, then you can go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead and finish.
He's right. Shows like his, going to these other events where they're not necessarily run by the major parties, where they're from other political parties that have different ideas. Anything that's different from what they're doing is a big plus for the people, because what we need to do is take it back from government. The way you take things back from government is through political reform fights. And this here's the problem. They're expensive, and they know it. A lot of court cases that are out there. And
very good.
We don't have the money. But I'm telling you, I am so serious about this, Reverend. The only way to change what's going on is to actually take the power back.
That's right.
The only way to take the power back, and it's the only way, Reverend, is through political reform issues. I'm telling you, that's the way, because this is the way they have it rigged. So everything that they do is convenient for them. They write their own laws to benefit themselves. The only way to change is political reform. That's all I have to say. But thank you, Reverend. I really appreciate it.
Hey, very good. I appreciate that also. Ralph, go ahead.
Yes. What the problem we have today is that we have to identify ourselves politically by our position. And, for example, we had 75% of the people identified themselves by their position of supporting single-payer health care. Now, we have to keep hitting at that. We wanted it. Both sides wanted it. We couldn't get it. Why couldn't we get it? Because we do not have representative government. People have to understand that. Another position that all of America enjoys, except for minority communities, is the community control of their schools. We don't have that. We've had a history of an America that has affirmative action for white people since 1939 up until about 4 years ago, affirmative action in unions, in all kind of organizations that we could not become a part of, in jobs we were excluded from. All of these positions were affirmative action for a group other than ourselves. Now, when I say white people, there are some white people who understand this perfectly, and they will identify with us and support us in those positions that are correct for all of us. I want for me and mine what you want for you and yours. This is where I begin when people say, what is your political position? And I will reiterate it. I want for me and mine what you want for you and yours. Now, could we get together on that? And for many people, they don't want, we won't get together. And this is how we identify our friends. Those who can say, yes, for you and yours, the same as for me and mine. Education, jobs, privilege, etc. Community control of everything in our community. See, so many misnomers we have. We say we live in a ghetto. No, we've never lived in a ghetto. No, except maybe for Tulsa and some places like that where they controlled the money in their community. There, they had a ghetto. And a ghetto referring to all of one type of people. Here, controlling that. Now, if you looked at the ghettos in Europe when they destroyed the Jewish ghettos in Nazi Germany, while in the ghetto, or in Poland, in the ghetto, the Jewish people controlled their money from top to bottom. They controlled everything. Their schools, their stores, their education. They just didn't have an army. And so the Germans came and took them over. So now we want to get the ghetto status, and we have all of these people running around with guns, and everybody saying, no guns, no guns, and I'm afraid of that when the police start saying, turn your guns in, because I've seen what happens before when you have no guns. The problem isn't the guns.
Let me ask you a question. Are you saying the ghetto, the definition of a ghetto is when you control your community?
Exactly. You are separate, but under your own control. That's a ghetto. Mm-hmm. We're separate, but somebody else controls us. And I say, wait a minute. I don't want to put my gun down because I know what happens to people who have ghettos and control the money. They come and take it. Now, do we need Rosewood, Tulsa, every place where we were in America and were successful, they came and took it. Yeah. And there were too few people with the guns. And we must understand that the gun is not the enemy. It's our misunderstanding of who we are. We hate each other.
Mm.
Weeksville is still here in New York, in Brooklyn, because when they had the draft riots in the 1860s and they were killing people all over New York and particularly in the Lower East Side in the Irish areas, everybody had to run to where? To Weeksville. What was different about Weeksville? People had no problem with owning a gun. And they had guns, and they understood the use of guns for self-defense. This is why I'm always screaming, whatever happened to self-determination, that's community control, and self-defense, that is the defense of that community. We have to put those together. Whatever happened to that? Nobody argues against that, but they just say, oh, get rid of the guns. No, no, no. Get rid of the miseducation where these poor kids don't have an idea about what truth is, what justice is. They think they're in the movies. And this is our fault. We have to say, no, this is not a movie. This is about defending your sister, your daughter, and your mother. And you can't go running around and shooting up each other over some dumb drug. It doesn't work like that.
I agree with that, Ralph. Hey, Ralph, could you give us a Lynn Stewart moment? Then I got to bring Mary on, and then we're going to bring Libby on. Go right ahead.
What did you say?
Go ahead. Give me a let's talk about Lynn Stewart just for a second.
Stewart,
so
yes.
I got to bring Mary on.
Thank you, Reverend. We're on the African American Day Parade, and one of the banners that we carry in that parade is Lynn Stewart. And we get cheers when people see the Lynn Stewart banner because everybody here knows who she is. She defended the rights of the poor and oppressed people regardless of color. And if I ask people to go to lynnstewart.org, L-Y-N-N-E, Stewart, S-T-E-W-A-R-T.org, and read her document on human rights. And one of the latest ones. And she's constant. Even though she's in prison in Fort Worth, Texas, she keeps writing and speaking out about human rights, women's rights. She says the most appalling thing is to see the number of women who are in jail and who are of no threat, have never been a threat to society. What happens to their children? What happens to their lives? And one of the things that hurts her the most is she says, but for inadequate attorneys, they wouldn't be there. And she writes the paper, she says, my goodness, these people should not be here. But they had attorneys who really didn't give a damn and, you know, who are not interested in defending. And she says, you know, and she tries to do the work. She tries to do the work. And it is very difficult for her to do the work in prison because she says there are no office hours in prison. You are where they tell you to be. And she is sick. She still has her problems. So please look up on your website, L-Y-N-N-E, Stewart, S-T-E-W-A-R-T, .org. And her case is coming up for appeal. She was sentenced to 28 months for being a terrorist. They said that they knew she was a terrorist because of her political positions on black people. Black people had a right to self-defense, so they said that proves that she supported the Blind Sheikh's Islamic group in Egypt. And so, you know, it was the same old nonsense, the same old tortured logic, but people were more afraid then when she was on trial than they are now. They know the government is lying. And earlier on, they did not understand that they're lying. And all of those people were saying Eric Holder and Obama, and now it is proven that Obama was worse than Bush. He's done more bad things than Bush. We don't have to debate that anymore. What we have to do is ask ourselves, how did we ever get in a position to think that Mr. Obama was going to help us? What was the problem there?
And Rap, always remember, it really doesn't matter who the president is. It's always the system. It doesn't make a difference. And everything that Obama has done, he follows the same policies that Bush, and the reason he follows the same policy as Bush is the system itself. It's the system. People don't understand. This system is in place, and it's in place for the next 200 years unless we the people change it.
Yes, I have a question. It's not so relevant to one area, but out in Detroit, the woman who was 101 years old who was dispossessed, what is happening there?
Well, she's going to be moving right back in.
She's going to be put back in.
Here's what's happening right now. She was taken to the hospital. She's 101 years old. She was evicted out of her home. And what they're doing, they got a group together, and they're moving her back in, and they're going to protect her, which is a tremendous thing. See, Detroit is pretty much like Chicago, New York. They don't let these folks push them around. You see what I'm saying?
Well,
so that's really what it adds up to. That is something tremendous, but I did get an email on her, and they said that mm-hmm. she will be moving back into her home. Right now, they kind of like tore up her house and everything, but they got folks now actually working on her house to get her house back in shape. Listen, Ralph, I got to go to Mary, and Mary, you got about 5 minutes to say whatever your heart desires.
Well, thank you very much, Reverend. This is Mary Neal. I am the founder and director of an online advocacy. I hope you visit called Assistance to Incarcerated Mentally Ill. You know, there are mentally ill people in most every family, and sometimes the people who you think are just alcoholics or drug addicts are also battling emotional and mental problems that have not been diagnosed and treated. Too often these people go to jail because that is a moneymaker for prison owners and investors. They close the mental hospitals on purpose. Everybody is affected when corporations rule. When corporations rule, this is a heartless society. When corporations rule, they want war profits. They want money from people going to jail. They want to take over cities. They want to do the truth. They want to put you and me in concentration camps and make us all work for them. Now, that's the bottom line. And if you want to, please look online for my articles. That's FREESPEAK, blog, BLOG. Free Speak Blog, Mary Neal. My brother, to show you how bad it can get, was secretly arrested and murdered by police. That's Larry Neal, wrongful death of Larry Neal. And I use him for an example to show you how bad things can get for you and your family if you continue to be apathetic about this creeping Nazism that we have going on in America. It can get so bad that they will come and get your handicapped loved ones or you secretly arrest you, murder you, return your dead next body, and refuse. They refuse to get information. Look online.
Absolutely.
Mary Neal versus United States of America. We're going to sue the USA over this disparate treatment.
Amen. All right, Mary Neal. Let me go on to Libby. Libby, are you there?
Hello?
Libby, are you there?
Hello.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, and I have a report from the Berrien County Courthouse.
All right, go right ahead.
This is actually you yourself, Edward Pinckney, writing, and your experience about a week ago at the Berrien County Courthouse, where you do your observing every day. This is on the bhbanco.org website. That's bhbanco.org. I have seen collusion between prosecutors, defense attorneys, and judges hundreds and hundreds of times in this courthouse. Early this week, I was eyewitness to a crime against humanity. Court-appointed attorney Scott Sanford told his client, Antonio Smith, to plead guilty, quote, or else, unquote. Smith refused to plead guilty to a crime he did not commit. So Sanford told Judge Dennis Wiley that Smith was late for court. He was not late, by the way, but anyway. Wiley charged Smith with contempt of court. Smith had to put up $7,500. That's $7,500. He was taken to jail. How long will this go on in Berrien? When will the people demand justice in their court? One other court report from Reverend Pinckney, also on the same website, bhbanco.org. I was joined by two people this week, one from South Korea and one from Mexico. They're both working with the Institute for International Cooperation and Development, located in Dowagiac, Michigan. The Mexican man had a strong reaction to the proceedings. He remarked that in this court, all they do is extract money and imprison people. In Mexico, the defense attorneys fight for the defendant. In this court, they give up on them. And in Mexico, many judges are corrupt because they are terrified of the drug criminals. What they do is assist them out of fear. And it is mentioned here that in Berrien County, the criminals come in the form of a land-hungry corporation. And that's who everybody's afraid of in Berrien County. The South Korean woman said that she could not have imagined that a court could be so corrupt in the United States. The two visitors witnessed, along with Reverend Pinckney, many miscarriages of justice, including Judge Wiley giving Antonio Smith 90 days in jail for contempt of court and sentencing another man who was just about to die to jail. He was on a breathing tank and using a walker. And then my last report from bhbank.org has to do with, there's actually a company in Benton Harbor that is doing a wonderful thing and suing Whirlpool. Now, there are two companies in Benton Harbor across the street from each other. One's called New Products Corporation. One's called Modern Plastics. Now, some time ago, Whirlpool cut off some of the suppliers of Modern Plastics and over time forced that company out of business. So Modern Plastics no longer exists. And I think it had been in Benton Harbor for many years, but Whirlpool destroyed it. Now, the company across the street called New Products is determined that Whirlpool will not bully them. So this article on bhbanco.org actually comes out of MarketWatch, which is from Wall Street Journal. And it's from September 14th, and the title is New Products Corporation Files Lawsuit to Stop Encroachment of Company Property. One of Benton Harbor's oldest and longest surviving manufacturing companies, New Products Corporation, today filed a lawsuit against Harbor Shores, the city of Benton Harbor, and others after numerous attempts to notify Harbor Shores through correspondence and no trespassing signs that a portion of its golf course was constructed on the company's property. The lawsuit was filed in the Circuit Court for the County of Berrien. Defendants named in the complaint are Harbor Shores, Harbor Shores Golf Course, City of Benton Harbor, Benton Township, Whirlpool Corporation, PNC Bank, and the Michigan Magnet Fund. New Product Corporation is a custom precision high-pressure die caster and supplier of aluminum and zinc parts that are shipped to dozens of customer plants throughout the U.S. and worldwide. It was established in 1922. It's now led by the founder's granddaughter. It employs 100 people, one-third of which are Benton Harbor residents. According to attorney Mark Demarest, who's representing New Product Corporation, the lawsuit was filed because the company's prior communications with Harbor Shores, which is Whirlpool basically, did not resolve the problem. The complaint seeks damages for trespass and permanent injunctive relief from the defendant's encroachment of property belonging to the New Products Corporation. And we have a long history of being good neighbors and contributors to the local community. We are committed to continuing that tradition, said Miller. While New Products is not a big company, we are a world-class viable Michigan and U.S. manufacturer and one of the few remaining in this area. We feel it is vitally important for us to take a stand and protect what's ours. It's not right for someone, no matter who they are or what they do, to take property that doesn't belong to them. You know, this is just outrageous. It's so emblematic of the way Whirlpool behaves. Now, this is me talking. You know, the way Whirlpool behaves in the county of Berrien in Michigan. They are the big bully. Nobody is safe. No company, no person, no anything.
Hey, and it's just, you know one thing, that is tremendous, Libby, and right now, like I think I told you this before, they're just one step away from being junk stock. One step. They got that minus B negative rating. And with that, see, a lot of people may not understand how important that is. That simply means if they go and borrow money, they have to pay higher interest rates.
And they really don't want to pay those higher interest rates. Not only do they have a negative here in the United States, but also overseas. They got the same rate that they have. They usually one of them will be high, and other than they can borrow money from the project, the overseas or international, they call it, part of Whirlpool. But now both of them got that B negative rating, and it's going to kill them. All it takes, if we continue, stock is at the lowest it's ever been in probably almost in their history. So what we're doing, we're staying focused and doing the things that need to be done. We need to stop Whirlpool, put them out of business, show people that we can win. Because Whirlpool has a history of robbing people, destroying people, like they have destroyed this whole community. We had 20,000 people living here in the city of Benton Harbor. Now we have less than 10,000 people in the city of Benton Harbor. That's criminal what they're doing to the people here. But they're going to continue doing it until we take a stand. Now, tell you, also, I mentioned it earlier in the show, we are going after that Cornerstone Alliance. That $14 million that they're about to pocket and put in, they're about to get and put in their pocket because they shouldn't have that money. That money belongs to the residents of Benton Harbor, and I'm going to deal with HUD on it. I'm going to fight HUD until they give up that money and give it back to the people in the city of Benton Harbor. But on that note, I'm going to have to go to Ralph. We only got a couple of minutes. I want you to take 2 minutes, and then I'm going to give Mary the other two, and I'm going to give Libby the other one. So we got, yeah. That's right. 2, 2, 1. Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks for talking about the economic situation, because when you talk about the rich and the poor, the rich people of the world have just about destroyed the economies of the world with their greed. They forget that in order for a capitalist economy to exist, people have to have money all the way down to the bottom. Every time you go to the gas pump, you're moving money to the top. We have unemployment. Is gone off the charts. There is no consideration for people as a whole. There is only the immoral act of loving and defending self. And in so doing, they have destroyed, and I say this not lightly, the world's economy. Whirlpool has a low economic rating. Well, we're about to see Europe, remember this, we're about to see all of Europe crash.
Mm-hmm.
Greece, Italy, Spain, Ireland, Portugal about to crash, and the Germans, who have had the best economy, now their economy is faltering, and so it's a contagion. The American economy is, when you see the corporations have difficulty getting money, their economy, even among the rich, is crashing. So we've had a double dip recession, and then we're about to see the permanent peonization. That means you're a white slave as a peon.
That's
peonization,
right,
of the world, where there will be no progress. There's already been an end at a time when every American family could expect to do better than their parents. That's over. That ended
over.
In the
end. That's over.
You know what I'm saying? And now we see not much of a reaction. And this is when we say how we work together. We will work for all people who understand these issues. And
absolutely.
When they understand these issues, we'll be on the same side. Thank you, and thank you, and thank you.
Very good. Mary, go ahead.
Thank you, Reverend. Thank you so much. Mr. Ralph, would you please say your email address for me?
Yes. Ralph is my name. Very simple. Ralph.Poynter, P-O-Y-N-T-E-R, at Yahoo. The Y
thank
is in yesterday.
So
E-O yesterday, N-T-E-R, Pointer Dog, spelt with a Y. And I will get your mail, and I must talk with you. I must talk with everybody. Please, give me your opinions and attitudes, and I will write back.
And I want to say that my email address is Mary, M-A-R-Y, Love,
I have
L-O-B-E-S, Justice, at gmail.com. The thing is that you can go to BH Banco online to get in touch with Reverend Pinkney. And so we want you to know that we are here. We want to talk to you. We want to communicate with you. Sometimes my communication is interrupted by Cointelpro. I am a Cointelpro target, but if I get your email, I will respond. I want to thank you so much, Reverend Pinkney. You are so marvelous. We appreciate you. God bless you.
I will email everyone again so that you can get my email.
Very good.
Thank
Libby,
you.
Go right ahead.
Okay. I just want to say we are calling for a worldwide boycott of Whirlpool, and they've merged with many companies. They've bought up many companies all over the world, and all these companies can be seen on the website right there on the homepage at the top. So if you want to know, you know, if you need appliances, don't buy any of the ones that are listed at the top of bhbanco.org. No Whirlpool, no Amana, no Maytag. There are a whole bunch of them.
Okay, make sure you go to BH Banco and read that, bhbanco.org. But I tell you, we are seeing things change as of now. And I tell you, people are beginning to wake up, and we're waking them up. And the key word is that don't buy Whirlpool products. If we don't buy their products, we can put them out of business. And we're ready to take care of them the way they do everybody else. This is an opportunity for us to take over the takeovers. That's what we're going to do. Take over the takeovers. That's what we're going to do. We're going to take over the takeovers. It's time that we move on that level. But listen, we have just ran out of time. I want to apologize to everybody. I don't know why Cynthia McKinney didn't come, but I'm going to email her and find out what happened. Maybe she got sick or something, or maybe she sent me an email, whatever it is. Let's find out. But let's stay tuned for next week. Everybody have a real good week. Enjoy yourself, and let's talk about it later. Talk to you later.
Yeah, good night.
Bye.
Good night.